Blog Talk Radio.
Now won't you tell me what's the wrong with love? And maybe we can fix it. Now won't you tell me what's the wrong?
Nation Building Movement. Today's topic is Closing the Gap Part 3, guys, with host Sister Gidget. Sister Gidget, where you at, girl?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother DJ Black Teresa. I'm right here. How are you, sir?
Assalam, sister. How you doing?
I'm good. I hope you all be able to bear with me tonight. I'm battling sore throat, but you know I got a big mouth. I'm going to make it work some kind of way. Yes, sir. So we are back with part three of Closing the Gap. And I just want to start off by greeting the listening audience and my distinguished panel in our greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. And I want to thank all of you for joining us once again. We have a lot to talk about and a short time to do it, so I'm just going to just jump right into it. Like, again, I said, please bear with me. I'm trying to save my voice, so if you can't hear me, please let me know. Is my co-host there, Brother Derek Singleton, are you there? Brother Derek? Yes, sir. Okay, so Brother Derek, you know this is part three of this series that we've been doing, and you know, I'm going to kind of reiterate some of the things that we discussed. You know, we started out with the subject of trying to unify the black man and woman, and as you know, part one kind of got into a heated discussion. Part two kind of got off the stage, and this week we're going to focus on solutions of, you know, what can we do individually to unite together. A lot of people are speaking on the level of courtships and marriages, and of course, we always want to be found in support of that and encouraging that. But there's a step prior to that. Derek, you've been here with me, so why don't you express your thoughts on how you think this is going, and what is your outlook on the division between the black man and woman?
I think it's been very interesting. It shows that we have a long way to go, a lot of work to do, and better understanding each other. And I think we just have to look deeply in our, you know, within ourselves to see what's the problem with ourselves first, with each other, before we can see what's the problem with each other and our relationships toward each other. So, I mean, it's been interesting. It brought out a lot of points. Hopefully we can go back and listen, see what we heard. And like you said, work on solutions tonight. And we can do, you know, see what we can do to make it better.
All right, so you ready to man this ship with me, Brother Derek?
Yes, I'm going to do the best I can. I got a lot going on, though, still, but I'm here.
Okay, yes, sir. I thank you for that, Brother Derek. Thank you for your support. Now, before we move on, I want to say something, and I usually don't do this, but I found it to be very necessary after some of your inbox messages, some of your phone calls, some of your comments about the show last week. And it's to my understanding, and I'm going to put a disclaimer out there and let you know, I'm not talking about all FOI, neither am I talking about all MGT. But I am talking about those that this particular issue pertains to. So I'm not naming names or anything like that because that's impossible to do. However, in my research, most of the single groups on Facebook, I have monitored, I have researched, I have read some of the comments. And based on some of the language used, I can only imagine the tone of, you know, how it was felt and how it was meant to be expressed amongst us. And, you know, the use of social media has brought about a new avenue of communicating. And as Muslims, you know, we always want to be found displaying the best of behavior and using the best of language if possible. And we all fall short of that, including Sister Gidget. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. But I went back and listened to the show last week, and I heard talks of rebellion. I heard things about the FOI going out, getting lost, found. I heard about how sisters are not knowing their seven units. I heard a lot of things that were said last week. The one thing that never, ever came up in the whole two-hour broadcast was love. And that is so sad. And I'm going to tell you, my sisters, the MGT, Sister Gidja, love you. Whether you like me, hate me, or love me, I love you. Nothing is going to change that. But we have got to do better. Some of us are so disrespectful. Some of us are so blatantly disobedient on social media. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. And some of us don't have no excuse. We talk out of both sides of our mouth, and I'm just telling you my observation. So I'm not telling you something nobody heard. I'm not telling you something somebody told me. I'm telling you what I see. And even if we are met with that kind of attitude from a brother or a sister, we have to rise above emotion and be better because we are taught to be better. My dear brothers, you know, y'all have said some things that may be offensive to the MGT, but I have not seen as much abrasiveness with the FOI as I have the MGT, and I know where that comes from. We as women, our mouths are our only weapon. We cannot compete with the man physically, so our mouths are our weapons. But we don't want to be found coming against our brothers, especially in public, not even in private, but especially in public, the way we do, just being downright disrespectful. And brothers, you know, y'all have to do better too, because I see some compassion from the brothers, but I don't see much. You know, we have to be found encouraging one another, not bashing one another, not being so critical of one another, but encouraging one another. For those of us who know better, we need to teach the ones that don't. But not point fingers and not, you know, condemn them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you defend your people, you don't condemn your people. And out of all the talk about relationships and marriage and courtship, nobody talked about love. And I'm not talking about the kind of love that you feel for one that you're going to marry. I'm talking about the kind of love that you're supposed to feel for your brother and for your sister. How are you going to love a man enough to marry him when you don't even love him as your brother in faith and in spirit and in truth with the same love and mercy that Allah gave us? He forgives us over and over and over again. But we look at our brothers and we look at our sisters and we condemn them. We slack talk about them. We talk about them behind their back. But then we say we're going to build a nation. A nation of what? We have to start with love. And I'm going to tell y'all a little story, a very short story. You know, when I was a little girl, a very little girl, may have been 7 years of age, a Muslim family in Compton, California, we all went to Mosque 27, and their house burned down. And they had six children, four boys and two girls. And those two girls ended up going to their aunt's house. And the boys came to our house because my father had boys. And I looked at my father and I'm like, you know, what are they doing here? And my father said to me, he said, these are your brothers. He said, you treat every FOI, excuse me, as though they were your brother. Excuse me. And from that point on, that's how I look, And that's how I love every FOI. My brothers, my biological brothers, have shortcomings. They have flaws. But I love them. And I put that same love in the FOI in our mosque, in our nation. We have to start with that first. And so I'm going to go ahead. That's all I wanted to say. I just pray that we do better, that we encourage one another, and that we approach each other out of love, care, and concern. So that's all I want to say about that. I want to come on and introduce my panel, and I thank all of you so much for coming back. Some of you came back, and I want to start off with Brother Malik Muhammad. Sir, come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself once again, even though most people already know who you are.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam, sir. Yeah, this is Brother Malik Wali Muhammad, formerly known in New York City as Arthur 8X. I'm from Mosque Number 7. I'm a member of the ministry in Mosque Number 7, a Christian brother, Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, coordinating the study groups. Also, I'm a certified auditor for the nation under Minister Farrakhan's directions. I'm a father of 4 children, all grown and on their own. I have 6 grandchildren. I'm presently living alone in my own home. I'm a widower. May Allah be pleased with my wife. 3 years. January the 5th has been 3 years. I'm ready now to move on with my life and continue the journey with Allah, to Allah, and also to combine that journey with a helpmeet to help me to bring my vision into fruition, to do the work that Allah has ordained for me to do, and to serve my purpose in life.
Thank you, Brother Malik. Okay, we also have with us tonight my beloved brother that I admire so much, and he's never been on the show. So, Brother Walter, come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Brother Walter Muhammad from Philadelphia, serving now in Willingboro Study Group. That's Willingboro, New Jersey, formerly of Mosque Number 12 in Philadelphia. I'm honored by Sister Gidget's invitation to come and speak, you know, in front of the believers and as well as anyone listening in. It's an honor and a privilege. It's also a learning experience for me. I'm very humble and always seek to learn and gain information that I can learn and incorporate myself and become better. So I thank you, Sister Gidget, and those, the believing community, for welcoming me on to the show first time, and hopefully I can come back another time and share and build information. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir, and thank you, Brother Walter. Okay, and we're going to introduce at this time Brother Rahsan Muhammad. Come down front and center, soldier.
Assalamu alaikum, sister and family. I'm Brother Rahsan Muhammad, registered member here in the city of Chicago, headquarters for the Nation of Islam, been a part of the nation for nearly 20 years. I appreciate the time, sister, you take to have such a beautiful show to allow us to dialogue with one another so we can see about bridging the gap and coming together as a whole. And I thank you for allowing me to be on your show, sister. I appreciate the love and support your show, and may Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother
Rasad.
Okay, come on, Brother Gary.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Brother Gary Muhammad. I'm originally from Joliet, Illinois. Came into the Nation of Islam 1999 registered, so this shall be my 14th year. Father of 3. Just pretty much a lover and a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, hoping that I can share with you all, whether you be Christian or Muslim, the few jewels that these individuals have given me in my life in Islam, hoping to help bridge and close the gap between the MGT, the FOI, the black man, and the black woman throughout America. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And Sister Patricia. Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. I apologize. I was trying to get my phone off mute. I'm Sister Patricia from Cleveland, Ohio. Mother of two, grandmother of five, and one on the way. And I also am a certified auditor. And I thank you so much, Sister Gidget, for inviting me to the show once again. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, and Sister Shafika.
Hi, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm Sister Shafika Muhammad, also known as Sister Michelle Muhammad of My 74 in Indianapolis. I am a registered member, and I have been registered for 16 years. I thank you for having me on the panel and possibly be a part of the solution to the miscommunication and whatever else may be causing the gap between the FOI and the MGT and our people as a whole. And I'm very honored. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we also have another sister who is joining us for the first time, Sister Kimberly.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I'm Sister Kimberly. Sister Kimberly Muhammad. I'm from St. Louis, originally Mosque 28, originally from Mosque Mariam. I am a mother of seven children, homeschool all, been in the ranks little over 20 years now, praise be to Allah, and I'm hoping and to be able to share whatever experience that I have experienced throughout the time of my life and my time within the nation. So thank you all for having me, and may Allah guide our words and guide our hearts and to speak the words of truth and love that will unify and help our people to become one. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't even get my own phone off mute. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so we're going to start with, I want to start with Brother Rathan. Brother Rathan, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you were here with us last week, and you were one of the brothers who spoke about, what did you call it? Feminist or rebellion? And the reason why I want to talk is because, you know, I want people to understand that the FOI have long been silent about their emotional pain. And I think it is just so unfair of us as MGT to think that our brothers don't suffer pain, don't suffer disappointment, as if they are some kind of emotionless creatures. That is not true. Now, everybody has their opinion, but I want to speak to more, not so much as what you said, Brother Rathan, but I want to speak to how it makes you feel and what is the purpose of that issue being corrected, and how does it apply to Islam. So could you kind of reiterate your expression from last week, and let's talk about the solution to that.
Well, you know, the rebate aspect in which I was speaking, because here in Chicago we had a few cases where some sisters, you know, were in rebellion and in dress code out on the street. And some of the FOI was seen, some of the sisters, they wouldn't recognize the brother's faces, but the brother would recognize the sister from seeing them at the mall so many times. So they would be out in the street dressed in a certain attire that's not Islamic in their attire. So it would get reported back, and it was an incident where a sister was caught without her headpiece and some other things, and where she was dressed, and a long-term brother disrespected her, you know. And then she came back and reported it, and it sent the FOI off. And we had an incident where one of the brothers could have lost their lives based upon the sister's rebellion. So a lot of our sisters who claim to be part of the nation, and then when they leave the mosque and you have the weekend that come up, you see some of them out here in the streets. Sometimes I see myself, and then they'll be shocked and surprised to see me. And then if I say something to them, they'll take it out of context, or they'll report it as me coming on to them or being harsh or whatever the case may be. So it's cases here in Chicago that have, well, the incidents went down that it was reported that a lot of our women out here are dressing in tight jeans, and some of them not wearing their headpieces, and some of them get caught out here with the lost round brothers and things like that. So the word get back, that right there, that hurts the FOI, because here we are as black men in the Nation of Islam, and we are taught to protect you all. We are taught to give our life for you all, and some of the sisters that's out here bogus like that, and then we don't know that, and then we come out here and fight for the sister and kind of fight. That's why the minister asked, the first question he always asks the sisters is, how were you dressed? And I remember him saying that obedience is the highest form of sacrifice in Muhammad University, that the sisters should be wearing their headpiece. He said, don't look like, he said, when the brothers see you, you should look like Sister Lucille 3X. Don't look like Lucinda, but look like Sister Lucille 3X. And a brother will show more respect, the lost found brothers will show more respect, because they know what you represent and what you stand for. So that right there, that produced a lot of pain, not just to me, but just the FOI here in Chicago, speak for the brothers throughout the nation, in terms of the different cities, because there's study groups and there's various mosques. But I know here in Chicago, a lot of incidents have went down where some of the brothers were sent off based upon the sister's rebellion, not wearing no headpiece, or she got caught out here in some tight jeans, or whatever the case may be. One sister got slapped, brother, she called a mosque, Allahu Akbar. Brothers go right around the corner of the mosque, kind of find our sister was doing some bogus stuff. So a lot of brothers would get sent off, and that's just a point that that's the rebellion I'm speaking of. Because that's the type of rebellion that'll get an FOI to lose his life on some silly stuff, and then kind of find out she was already out here on some bogus stuff. So that's the pain and hurt that I was speaking from, not necessarily that all the MGT is in rebellion, but the ones that are in rebellion are the ones that normally would send their brothers off because they can't control themselves, or they don't have no desire to be part of this, or they don't want to be, they want to be part-time Muslims or part-time MGTs and only want to wear their headpiece and garment on the Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they're not dressed like MGTs. And we wouldn't know that because I ran into plenty of sisters just on the train, on the bus, and they had no type of garment on, no headpiece, no nothing. And I'm just looking at them, and had I not recognized their face, I wouldn't know they were MGT or not. You know, and just to see how the lost found brothers react and respond to them, and then, you know, like I said, word get reported back to the mosque, that's what's going to happen. You're going to send a brother off, you're going to get one of us killed. Based upon your rebellion, because you don't want to wear no headpiece, or you don't want to wear no garment, or something that signifies that you're with the Nation of Islam, or you're just a Muslim, period. So that's what I was speaking of.
Okay, and so that has been known to happen. That's a true statement. And I don't understand why sisters may have been offended by that. So I'm going to ask Sister Shafika, if she don't mind, if she would come in and respond to what Brother Rahsaan said.
Yes, ma'am. Let me just say this first. How I felt last week and how I felt this week, in between these last 7 days, I've had a lot of time to think about a lot of the statements that were made last week and how I reacted to them last week and apply them to myself and ask myself, why did I react that way? And I, speaking for, I believe, a lot of the MGT, a lot of the MGT feel like the brothers are in our class entirely too much. However, that's not to say that you shouldn't say to us, sister, why isn't your hair covered? Or, you know, ask her, you know, why thus and so. Because we should. We should be covered. And that sister should also know, just out of our class, that when you go out like that, you open yourself up to situations such as the in the case that the brother was speaking about. And in cases like that, you bring a brother into a bad situation to try to clean up your mess. But in situations like that, brothers aren't responsible for you. Because you wasn't out there. There was nothing about you that said MGT, GCC at that time. So I believe that the MGT, we should be mindful of how we dress. We dress modestly. We know the instructions that have been given to us as to when we can wear our headpiece and what situations we shouldn't wear our headpieces or scarves or whatnot. And we take our instructions from our class, and just we should be mindful when we leave our homes that our brothers, even though we may not see them visually around us, they're still responsible and they're still on post watching out for us. So we've got to be mindful as well of our actions and put ourselves in check.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and I'm going to give one of the wise men, Brother Malik and Brother Walter. So come on, Brother Malik, give us some insight to what Brother Rafan is saying and what Sister Shafika is saying as far as the FOI being in the MGT's class.
Yes, ma'am. In those type of situations, we have to go back to men are the maintainers of women. Mm-hmm. That does not just apply to one's wife or family. That has to do with every woman in the nation that desires to be a virtuous woman. And in order to maintain her, you have to know how a woman thinks. We have to know how she thinks. We have to know how to approach her in those type of situations, like when Brother was saying about the sisters out there, the way that they are. Well, when we see them like that, we have to approach them in a particular way. We can't. The last week, everything got out of order because we permitted emotions to rise above the thinking of God. So when we deal with the women, our sisters in the street, and see them in the way that they may be, some of them, we have to know how to approach them. We have to use tact and skill in approaching them. The minister just said to us in that webcam a few weeks ago when he was telling us about starting the series of Theology of Time, he said when you talk to God, you don't raise your voice at God. He said because naturally when you do that, the person being God and it being his nature, he's going to rebel because when you raise your voice, it's like you're trying to force something on them. So when we see these sisters on the street like this, we have to approach them using the gospel. We have to approach them using the words of the Holy Quran, the same way we're taught as brothers and sisters to approach one another. A lot of us have to be retaught. we have to go through certain things in life because sometimes we don't get it the first time. We're still rebellious in the way that we do things. That rebellion pops back up when we have put our emotions to direct what we're supposed to do, which is right and correct. So in order for us to really get to want to respect one another and respect the teachings and respect what we're being taught by the minister and through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the underlying principle with everything is, as you said before in the beginning of the program, we have to deal with every situation that we deal with within the nation with love. That has to be the base. That has to be the formula. That has to be what we think and have on our mind whenever we speak to one another, no matter what condition we may be in or which way it looks like we're heading. We have to do it with love. When we go out into the community, when the minister sent the brothers out into the community, he's the main thing that we went out there for was with love. So now we're dealing with a lost found, dealing with love, and have them bringing them into righteousness, planting a seed to grow them into righteousness, which is their nature. Well, so when you see a brother or a sister that's straying from the path, they've already been involved, so it would be much simpler if we would come at them with what we've been taught by the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. There's not a subject in life that Minister Farrakhan has not taught us on. So oftentimes when we're dealing with particular situations, I know I try to do this myself, is that I get in situations, I see situations, I say to myself, what would Minister Farrakhan do in this situation? So even if it's a point where I don't really can't get it together, I know I can always go and pop in a DVD or go back to an old lecture, or old scripture that he spoke on that subject, and I can find the answer and how to deal with my people, how to deal with my sisters, how to deal with my brothers. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we have to think 5 times before we speak, and then we may be right. So we have to learn how to think before we open our mouths. Sometimes because of the pain, when people are in pain in life, it's difficult for you to others to see other people's pain when they're in pain, because all they focus on is the pain that they're dealing with themselves. So we have to learn how to look beyond the pain. The minister said, don't dwell on the pain, dwell on the hope of things getting better. So when we see our sisters out in the street, or they may see a brother that's not in the right atmosphere or doing what he's supposed to do, the approach is what you use in order to fish that person in, because you're fishing him back into reality. She's fishing you back into reality. Yeah. Or what you gave your word to and what we say we believe in. So we have to come at one another with that aspect in mind. We have to come at each other aspect, looking at, remembering that the black, when Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, when I look at the black man and woman, I'm looking at God.
Yes, sir.
Let me
remind everybody, please, if you have your computers on, please mute them. And if you're not talking right now, just go ahead and mute your phone so that we can be sure that we hear everyone. And if you have a question, those of you who are calling by phone, press 1 on your keypad, and we will be happy to take your question. Okay, I'm sorry. Did someone want to say something?
I just want to a quick response. And Brother, what he's saying is right in terms of the approach. However, again, like I said, I'm in headquarters, so I see a lot up here, and I work for the entities. So I have seen a lot. So most times when brothers do approach sisters in the right manner, in a most peaceful manner, it still gets reported back as something totally different and out of whack. And I've seen brothers had to literally try to explain themselves out of the situation because the sisters mistook his approach as a come on. So, yeah, you can approach it, but the sister's not in the right mindset to see that this brother's doing this out of love, and she's taking it the wrong way, and then she come back and report it the wrong way, and it's taken the wrong way, and then I sit in a meeting trying to explain myself that I didn't do that. See, that's the point. Hey, I got believers with the minister's jam, brothers, of and jam the sisters up just for doing stuff like that, because you were sending a brother off. That's what I'm saying. So it's more than just the approach. It's more. It's how do you perceive what I'm saying to you? Are you taking it as brotherly love, or are you taking it as me trying to judge you or condemn you? No matter how soft my words are, the Jews still gonna see the minister as an anti-Semite, no matter how soft he put it, no matter how gentle he is with the truth. They still want to consider him an anti-Semite, because they're not going to accept the truth. That's just the bottom line. So
right.
He has to be careful. I read in a book a long time ago that no matter how someone says something to you, the person that's receiving it, it's up to them how they perceive it. I can say it as soft as a baby, but if he's perceiving it as me being hostile or whatever, that's on you. It's not on me. So the truth is the truth, regardless of how it's delivered. But it's not delivered in a harsh manner. That's how, you know, so we have to understand that everybody that represents truth ain't always harsh and critical and barbaric in their delivery. That's not the case for everybody. So that's just want to clear that up. That's all. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, well, we know that things like that happen, but let me say this, Brother Rasan, and to anyone. Anytime that you are right and exact on your point of correction, and you come in the right manner, then you stand on your square and defend your action. A person may become offended, but Allah reveals all truths. And if we believe that, then we would be more proactive in encouraging our brothers and sisters instead of walking around here on eggshells. I'm not going to ever back down from telling someone the truth as long as I did it in the proper manner. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we are to argue in the best manner. That's straight out of the Quran. So certainly we are to approach our brother and sister in the best of manner. And if they become offended by the truth, then that is a clear demonstration of their rebellion. So I don't buy into anybody backing down off truth and people being offended by the truth. You might be offended by the truth, but I'm not going to get off my square because you offended. We're supposed to stand by truth no matter what. That's what we are taught. So I want to go ahead and hear from Brother Walter. Are you there,
yes,
sir?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Yes, ma'am.
And how do you feel about what you've heard thus far, Brother Walter? What's going on? Are we rebellious? Or what you thinking?
I couldn't quite say that people are rebellious. What I can say is there's times where we may know the right thing to do, and sometimes in knowing the right thing to do, transmitting into doing the right thing brings about a conflict. There's been times where, you know, just as believers in our own self, we know the right thing to do, but that's key. We have to look at ourselves, and a lot of times it's easy for us to point a finger when we may see another brother or sister out of order. But do we have that same type of patience at times to look at ourselves when we've been out of order and say to ourselves, well, you know, I was there at one point in my development as a Muslim and as a believer of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and Allah saw fit to show me mercy and correction and getting it together with myself. So it becomes the Quran, the words of the Quran, where we exalt one another to truth and patience. And it has to be love in that process, as
yes,
Brother so eloquently said earlier, Brother Malik, I believe it was. It has to
yes.
be love. And in love, you find the tact and the diplomacy to deal. Now, it's another thing how a person perceives and takes something after you've taken the time to show the tact and diplomacy and love. That's on the individual at that point. And like you said, Sister Gidget, you don't back down from the truth. You stand on your square but you make sure and that we make sure that we're doing it out of love and not so much exaltation of ourselves. And I'm not saying anybody on the panel is doing this, but only thing I'm saying is a lot of times when believers do come with correction, there comes a certain spirit of, I'm better than you in this aspect, and you're being rebellious or hypocritical to the teaching. And when we can look at ourselves and see where our faults and our defects have come, and we see the process in which Allah was patient and merciful with us, that's how we can form a tact and a diplomacy to approach our brother and sister, and hopefully pray that it's received in the right way. Just like we say when we write a letter to one another, may this letter find you in the best of health and spirit. Well, it's the same thing with correction and help. May Allah guide my words to have you receive this in the best of health and spirit.
Praise yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Walter.
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
So, I'm sisters, I haven't forgotten you because your turn is coming up next, believe me. Brother Gary, let's hear from you.
You know, I'm listening to a lot of the things the brothers have said, which, you know, can be true in some instances. Many of the brothers have pointed out that it's the way a person does something. One of the brothers pointed out, well, it could be the spirit that something is done, and this could be the reason why there's a rejection for the truth that is being pointed out. But I really want to point out something that many of us are overlooking. If you study the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he was among us, and him constantly warning and reproving both FOI and MGT, but in this instance we're talking about the MGT, so I want to zoom in on what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to and about the MGT. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it in a very nice, sweet voice. He was kind. He was gentle. He was loving. He was the most loving of black people. That's why he was chosen. So the question has to be posed, why did the MGT rebel to him? This question has to be posed, Minister Farrakhan now. He's the most kind. He's the most gentle among us. And he's given the MGT similar instruction when it comes to the dress code of covering their hair, covering their bodies, being virtuous, modeling a kind of shyness, modeling righteousness, but yet there's still rebellion. So the question has to be posed now to the brothers on the panel and the sisters. Why is there rebellion to the men that God himself has chosen to warn and reprove us? Explain to me why is there rebellion. I'm going to tell you why. It's like Brother Rashawn said, it's not even about how a person presents the truth to you. It's the simple fact that you don't want to obey it. So the Holy Quran says this is easy for the believer. Except those who are prideful and arrogant or a rebellious devil. So when you have brothers that are seeing constant rebellion, regardless to if the minister warned you in the open, in the private, the messenger warned you in the open, in the private, the Quran warns you in your privacy and in the open, what is a brother to do? Out of the love that we have for the MGT, not just the MGT, even the Christian sisters in the street, sometimes the brothers come to them pulling their coattails, trying to get them to be a better model of what we would call righteousness and virtue. But because such arrogance and pride has entered the hearts of many of those who have rejected truth, they don't want to hear it. The minister said he doesn't care if a parakeet comes to you telling you the truth. He said, because it is the truth, you should accept that truth. This is what he said. So we have to ask a serious question, Sister Gidget, my Muslim sisters on the panel, my Christian sisters who are listening, what is it about us that we reject truth regardless to how it is said? And I think that is the case that we're dealing with right now. It's not a matter of how something is said. Some of us are just not lovers of that truth. Thank you.
All right. Okay, and Brother Ivan has joined us. So, Brother Ivan, you have something you want to say before we go to the
first of all, assalamu alaikum to all the believers, brothers and sisters. It's always good to be in the presence of the believers.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I think sometimes it's good just to listen. I'm actually over here taking notes, and what I really want to do, to be honest with you, I just want to hear from the sisters first, and I think I'm just going to listen tonight. I was going to say some things, and it's not because I'm afraid or anything like that. I think that sometimes it's good to stand down. A man or a woman has to know when to stand down, and I think for me personally, right now it's good for me just to stand down and listen, and then I'll comment later on if there's time.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to go to Sister Patricia. Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay. Well, so of what you heard so far, Sister Patricia, how would you address the same issue with the sisters, and how would you advise brothers to approach sisters? You are a magnificent trainer of women, so come on and enlighten us with that information.
Okay, well, first of all, I feel like and I believe that some of the brothers are really speaking out of pain. We're all speaking out of pain and experience that we have, things that we have experienced. And so it is important for us to be able to take a person where that person is. Everyone is not on the same level as far as understanding, as far as knowledge. So, you know, I have two children. I have a son and a daughter. My daughter is 28. My son is 24. And I always taught them to take people where they are. You can't expect someone to respond in a particular way if they don't have that knowledge. Now, yes, we all have the knowledge of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but we're all on different levels of understanding. And so I'm not saying that it's okay for a sister to go out and be other than herself, but we have to teach and we have to train. And one of the things that I'm going to speak out of pain for a moment, one of the things that really pains me is for me to hear and see an MGT who may be married to an FOI or divorced from an FOI, who was not a good example of an MGT, because all MGT don't go out uncovered. All MGT are not, rebellious. You know, whenever there's a problem, problems come out. The things that are going in the right way, you don't hear about those things too much. And like I said, it really bothers me to hear about an MGT who is other than herself, and then she's giving the FOI the impression that all of the MGT are that way, and that's just not true. We don't hear about the sisters who are covered every time they go out or who are living the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we do have to teach and train, and I pray Allah that we don't mishandle each other. I did like what the brothers were saying as far as your approach. Your approach does matter, because as a student captain myself, I have to teach and train the women. I'm responsible for that. And so some women can take correction in a certain way and others can't take it that way. So you really have to study people and know how they will accept what you're giving them.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Sister Kimberly?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
As I have been listening, I look at a few things. I hear rebellious. I hear justifying wrong. I hear the brothers are in pain. I hear different levels of understanding. Now, first, to speak on the brother's pain, I can understand why a brother would be in pain when he sees his sister in other than herself. Secondly, rebellious, a rebellion person is one that rebels against authority. Now, whose authority are we speaking of? We're speaking of the authority of that most honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We, as Muslim sisters, under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have been given our instructions of how to dress, how to present ourselves, how to carry ourselves. We accepted this. We accepted what we are to do, to cover our bodies, to cover our heads, to walk and talk and dress in the best manner. Now, either we're going to do it or we're not. So we can try to justify all we want to. I have five daughters. Five. And when my daughters try to present themselves in a manner that is not proper, I simply ask them, if you are a believer, do you think that Allah would be pleased with the way you are dressing? Do you think that Allah would be pleased if you walk out and not cover yourself? We say the different level of understanding. My daughter, at 4 years old, I was with a friend, if I may say, and she was trying on some clothes, just a sister that's not in the rank, just someone I grew up with. And my daughter said, what you're wearing is something fit for me to wear. And she looked at my daughter and was like, oh, wow, wow. So the level of understanding, our children understand, and we are the example for our girls. If the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that a nation cannot rise any higher than us as the black woman, then what are we doing to help our nation rise? Mother Tynetta said, being a Muslim in this day and time, a Muslim woman is going to save our life. So what does that mean? Covering ourselves, presenting ourselves as Muslim women that we have been taught and trained to be. We are in the class that teach us how to be MGT, GCC. That's the meaning, that's the title of our class. When you break down and understanding what is general, something that involves is applicable to the whole, what whole? Our nation, civilization, one having knowledge and wisdom and understanding and refinement. Okay, if we understand this, then why aren't we doing it? It's no excuse. So I say on behalf of my brothers, when they see the sister not dressed the way that they should dress, because these were our instructions, then yes, they're hurt. They're in pain because they're looking at, I know that this is my sister and I know this is how she should dress and present herself. That is hurtful. Hurtful for me to see it. So we can sugarcoat it all we want to, but the truth is the truth. Either we're going to accept the truth and we're going to accept what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, or we're not. It's plain and simple. It's not hard to understand. It's not that hard. So I thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this, and I pray to Allah that we get better, because sisters, we are taught that 75% of the work is with us. What does that mean? What does that mean, 75% of the work is with us? Why? These are things that we need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. So if a brother out of love comes to us and say, sister, you know, why aren't you not covered? Brother, why are you asking me? What is the bit? Brother, you're right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If we love the truth, it's simple. We submit to it. It's very simple. So may Allah bless us. to do better, be better, love one another. Like you said, love is the key. And if a brother comes to us in love, we should receive it as love and just try to do better. So thank you all for having me. May Allah bless us all.
Thank you, Sister Kimberly. And Sister Shafika, are you there, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
So you've heard the brothers. What are you thinking?
Well, since I was the first sister to speak, I've already stated my thoughts on it. I do, however, want to let the brothers know that we understand. Well, I don't even know if we understand the pain 100%, but we accept the fact that is a reality. We're all dealing with some type of pain. So I don't want any of the brothers to feel like we are so concerned about how we feel and we're not taking into account how they feel. I've already stated my position regarding covering ourselves and what we're taught in our class, in our MGT and GCC class. We know what we've been taught. We know what we're supposed to do. I can't answer the question as to why someone is rebellious, but I'm also personally not totally concerned with seeking out those who may be in rebellion, because I know that every morning when I get up, I've got to give account for everything that I do that day, or for what I don't do that day. But then there are times when there are some from among us, seemingly that is their sole purpose. I'm going to find somebody that's rebellious and I'm going to point them out. Come in the right spirit, and what you give, you get in return. So that's what I have to say on that.
Okay.
Can I say something, if you don't mind?
Yes, absolutely, sir. Because I wanted to answer your question as well, Brother Gary, but go ahead.
I wanted to speak on the pain of the FOI. And I can't say that I speak for them as a whole, but I'll give the sisters a piece of my heart for me as an individual. When I look at the MGT, I don't see the average woman. I see a woman that is the best of all women. I see a woman that the white man does not deserve to set his eyes on. I see a woman that all the men of the earth should be bowing at our feet. But I also see a woman that should be conducting herself in a manner that forces the people to respect her in that manner. When I look at this woman, and I know that Minister Farrakhan has begged me, asked me, and demanded of me to defend her with my life. And let's say I'm married to a woman and I got 4 or 5 babies with another woman who's your sister. And my captain called me to war for a woman who has rebelled, who has disrespected herself and her nation, her sister, and my family because she didn't want to obey. But I got to go to this war, and I lose my life. My wife is without a husband. My children are without a father. Why? Because my MGT didn't want to cover her head. Because that MGT didn't want to cover her body. Because that MGT didn't want to control her mouth. Because that MGT was out late past hours. Because that MGT did not obey Master Farad Muhammad himself's instruction. You wonder why we hurt? Yes, we're hurt. Because I know when I wake up and I'm called to war, I got to lose my life for you. So you're right. I have a right to say something to you if you're not doing what you told, knowing that I might not go home to see my children, my wife, or my reward from my Lord because you did not do what you've been instructed to do. Now, I want to say one other thing. Sister Shafiqua specifically mentioned about some of the sisters feel that the brothers are in their classes. And I think this is something that the MGT has to be thoroughly educated on, and that is the role of an FOI, because they don't know. If the FOI is to maintain and protect the woman, the only way he can maintain and protect the woman is with what we would call the use of the law. And if there's a law that has to be applied, he has to understand the rules by which he governs his wife and his children. So that means he has a certain level of knowledge of what that woman can do, what that woman can't do. So she looks at that as if you're in the MGT class. No, he's not in your class. But he's definitely taking control of his woman and his children to produce a great nation. And I don't want the MGT that are listening on the panel, the Christian sisters that are listening, to take that in the extreme way. God has made man the head. And as the head, he demands of us to protect you and to love you. But for us to protect you, we have to have control. And we cannot control or protect something that does not want to be obedient. So I petition and I make a great appeal to the MGT today. On behalf of all FOI, we're asking you all to obey Louis Farrakhan in his instructions of our women to cover town in a time of judgment. This is the time. What must be done? There's a standard for you. There's a standard for us. Everybody has to come to the standard. I love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Gizzy, may I say something? Just a quick point. Brother Rasan.
Yes,
quickly, to the sisters, you know, no brother is in you all's MGT class. None of us are actually coming to the class and sitting there and listening to any of the instructions you all are given under you all's captain. However, like Brother Gary said, our job is to maintain and secure you. And again, well, I'm speaking out of the pain, but the pain that I'm speaking of is not because I want to point out somebody's wrong. I'm out to see somebody that's rebellious. I worked for the entities. I worked for the Final Car specifically a while back, and it was a time that a sister left the building without a headpiece on, walked to Oslo Drugs. Some of the young brothers didn't know she was a Muslim. They said something to her that was foul. She came back to the Final Car building, told the FOI, we shot out the door. And as the FOI shoots out the door to see what's going on, the brothers on the corner, they took offense to it. Now, all the gangbangers that was in that area come out of nowhere. Now, here you can have an incident that's about to go down because of a sister who left the building, who walked past a group of lost found brothers who didn't know what she represented, because they know the sisters on the Final Car cover their head. But this specific sister didn't do that. So no brother is in you all's class sitting back trying to take notes. That's not the case. The pain comes from that I have to give my life for you. And if I put you in the most loving manner, and you tell that sister, Kimberly said, well, brother, you shouldn't be, what you looking at me like that for? You shouldn't be checking me out anyway, brother. I'm going to report you. Now, here I am sitting in the meeting with my captain, her lieutenant, my lieutenant, trying to explain, well, I didn't approach her like that. She took it the wrong way. So the minister, don't mistake this pain for hate or dislike or disdain. He speaks passionately. This is passion. That's my passion you're hearing. The pain is there, but it's still, I'm speaking out of passion because I love you all, and I want to see you all become the women that Allah created you all to become. But you can't become that if you're in rebellion against the simple instructions of covering your head. That's all I'm saying. That's the reason why I spoke the way I did, not because I'm looking to point the finger at some sister and say she's not doing this. I'm not looking for that. If I'm out and about in the street, I'm coming from work, or I'm going to school, wherever I'm at, and I come across a sister who might not recognize my face and see me after a month, but I see her most of the time, and she's dressing in fine clothing, and I approach her, she might be with her husband. That's the point. A lot of brothers in the minds don't like their women to dress completely in their garment when they're out and about in the public. And the minister has spoken that various times. And that's the point that we need to address. I know I'm not saying all the MGT are in rebellion against the instruction, but the ones that are in rebellion overshadow the ones that are not in rebellion. And that's what we all need to focus on, to bridge the gap. You got to understand what caused the gap like Minister Farrakhan said, in closing the gap, when Brother Jabril asked him a question, he said, let's look at what caused the gap first. Then you can solve the gap. You can solve the issue by closing the gap when you find out what caused it first. So let's get to the root of it first to find out why there's a gap between us. Then we can come up with the solutions. You can't come up with the solutions if you don't understand the problem. As-salamu alaykum.
You know, let me say this, you know, because I don't want us to be redundant and use up all the time talking about head covering. Let me just say this, brothers and sisters. You know, Allah does not compel us to believe. And we're living in true times, so let's just keep it real. You know, and I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite or anything of that nature, but you know that the enemy is present just as God is present. And so if you find, and this is just my opinion, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, if you find that someone is blatantly disobedient, blatantly rebellious, and you have gone to them in love, and you've gone to them in the correct spirit, and they still appear to be rebellious, then you may have the right at that time to question their motives, because let's not get it twisted. We do have plants in our mouth. We do have people in our mouth that come in and try to encourage us to go astray. But that has to do with your individuality and how you work your Islam. I don't want brothers, and I personally don't want my brothers out there dying because someone continues to be rebellious. So if you see Sister So-and-so on Monday and she don't have her head covered, and you approach her in love and you know, and try to encourage her to do the right thing, and you see her the same way on Tuesday, you see her the same way on Wednesday, Surah 434 say, leave them alone. Leave them alone. You cannot compel somebody to be obedient because you are not the holder of their salvation. And really, it's a waste of time when the energies can be put in those that are truly striving. But everybody has to work their Islam to the best of their ability, and we get our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in different degrees. So if I see a brother that's rebellious, yeah, I'm going to encourage him. But long as I know he has comprehension skills and I spoke English and he understood what I said, if I see him the next time and he's rebellious, I'm just going to chalk it up to that's the way he chooses to be. Allah doesn't compel us, so certainly I can't compel anybody. But all we can do is teach the truth. And once you put the truth out there, it's up to them to accept the truth. Everybody in the nation accepted the teachings. Accepted the teachings. No one was compelled to hear or believe these teachings. We accepted them. And so if you have those that are sitting side by side with you in the mosque and they don't accept these teachings, that is not your burden.
And sister, I sound like a...
Yes.
Sister, this is Sister Kimberly. May I please speak?
Yes, ma'am.
In the sense, sister, yes, it is. Because we all sign the form. And we all sign the form stating to report all slackness. Now, if a brother sees a sister, I'm just going based on the topic at hand, other than herself, and the brother approach the situation and to find out what is the situation, why is this happening, or however he may do it. And if he continues to see the sister conducting herself in a manner that is not of an MGT as a Muslim woman, it is his duty to report it. Because just like they're saying, and this is what I'm hearing, and I feel, I'm going to say this as a Muslim woman, a Muslim wife, if my husband, if my son have to go out and fight and die for a sister that is other than herself, oh, believe me, I'm not going to be happy. So it is the duty of all believers to report. But first, the minister said, don't be so quick to report. Find out. What's going on, sister? What's the problem? However you want to do it. But if the sister continues or the brother continues, whoever it may be, it is our duty. We signed that form. It's our duty to report. Whether we want to do it or not, we can't sit and say, no, it's for her to decide and for her to get her act together. No, because I have daughters that live in my home, and I instructed them, and I have told them, while you live in my home, you want to live as a Muslim. Until you feel that you don't want to do that, I Islam alaikum. But in this home, you want to live as a Muslim. Why isn't the devil set on the best part of the planet Earth? So these, the minister said, apply these lessons to our everyday life. Apply the general orders to our everyday life. Apply the restrictive laws to our everyday life, because these are the keys that will help us to be successful in our everyday life. So we have to be honest and say, if so-and-so, so-and-so is not doing what so-and-so, so-and-so is supposed to do, let's find out what's going on. What's the problem? What can I do to help you? But if they continue, want to do what they want to do, then they should be excused. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, God is only after the black woman to make her an example to the world, to be a guide. And he said that you are being given the top of divine wisdom. And he wants to make us the greatest of all people of the earth. So what does that mean? If we are the example to our sisters that's in the world, if we are the example that says that we are the mothers of civilization and we're other than ourselves, and then we carry the name and we say we follow Farrakhan, we follow Elijah Muhammad, and we're not, then no, no, no. I can't excuse that. I cannot excuse that, but I will find out what is going on with my sister first or my brother first and pray to Allah that he helps them. But if they want to continue in rebellious, they have to be reported.
Yes, ma'am. And by no means was I saying that we do not do our duty as far as reporting, but I'm saying as far as trying to compel a person, we need not go to them in that spirit. But what you are instructed to do, to report any error in conduct, yes, we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. But that was not what I meant. But thank you for that,
ma'am.
Okay. We have like 41 minutes, and let me take this question. Brother DJ Black Caesar, we have a question.
Okay. Let me check it out. All right. 813-813, your mic is open.
This is Sister Akima from Tampa, Florida.
Yes, ma'am. I
feel like a queen. I'm sorry, and I pray to Allah that I don't come off disrespectful in any way, shape, or form. But as I'm listening to the call, I'm trying to see where this call is going to lead to us closing the gap. And right now, I mean, the last however long minutes y'all been talking about this covering of the head and stuff, it seems like it's just gearing towards the sisters. I don't see how this is closing the gap, because please forgive me if I'm saying incorrect or anything, but again, it's against the sisters, and that's not cool, because at the end of the day, the brothers don't dress FOY like every day either. I see brothers in tank tops. I see brothers in shorts. they have ways that they're not supposed to dress as well, but sisters gonna beat them up. I'm gonna beat the brothers up because, you know, they know how they're supposed to dress, and we as MGP know how we are supposed to dress. So at the end of the day, this conversation, and I please, if I'm wrong, I have to keep saying it because I don't want to sound disrespectful, but this conversation is just leading on the sisters. I want to hear how we could close this gap between the sisters and the brothers and however we all are feeling, because we all have our own different our own feelings on what's going on, but it's not just about the head covering. You don't, I mean, I know that we have our teachings and we all talk to cover our head when we leave the house and stuff like that, but okay, not because we don't cover our head don't mean we're not an MGT, because MGT is, you know, is how you carry yourself. You could have your head covered and be dead or whatever, and you could be a raggy behind MGT. But we can't judge that sister because we don't know what that sister is going through in her personal life. So at the end of the day, I mean, I just want to know how we're going to close this gap, because right now the gap don't seem like it's closing.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Akima, let me say this here. You know, this gap was not created overnight, and it's not going to be closed overnight. But I wanted the brothers to speak on what they wanted to speak about. I want the sister to speak on what they wanted to speak about. Now, you are the first and only sister that has come and said anything about the dress of the FOI. And that just goes to prove my point, is that we are all speaking from our individual experiences, and none of us are in the position to speak for the whole. But these that have come forth and wanted to put their issues on the table is what we're going to address, because they can go and encourage others on how to close this gap. And we're going to get to that solution by offering suggestions that we need to carry into practice. But we are all speaking from our own personal experience, because there is no way we can accommodate the entire nation. We all have our own things that we come from. So if that is an issue, I would like one of the sisters, if you would, to address that, if you've had that experience. And, you know, do we go through a point of correction to the brothers when we see them acting other than themselves? I'm going to go to Sister Captain Patricia. Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say no. We don't correct the brothers. I could say it's not our place. But the brothers, we don't point fingers. To me, it seems we don't point fingers like the brothers point fingers. Now, yes, we do it quickly to protect us. However, the minister gave us how many study guides? 22. Mm-hmm. Self-improvement, the basis for community development. And I always teach that we have to work on self. Work on self, and that's going to improve the community. You can't point the fingers at other people and expect them to do better when we're not working on self. None of us are perfect. None of us are where God wants us to be eventually. So we all have to work on self.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to go to Brother Walter, because, Brother Walter, if you find a brother that is acting other than himself, you know, I would think, from what I was taught, the FOI deal with the FOI. So correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Walter. Are you there? Oh, my goodness, did we lose
him? Sorry, sister, I was on mute. I apologize.
Okay, yes,
sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, pretty much as we're taught, men sharpen men like steel sharpens steel, unless you're married and your wife is sharpening you up as well. Praise be to Allah. But just a little pun on words. But, yes, ma'am, sister, as a brother in the nation, you know, we as brothers, if we see one of our own out of order, we're taught to, you know, talk to our brother first, out of love and, you know, humility. And, you know, if it's something really, you know, bad, we are taught to follow our restrictive law, which is to report all weakness, slackness, and wrongdoing. But we give our brother the opportunity first to save face and try to make the correction within himself, depending upon, you know, the offense and what, you know, what's being dealt with, because some things are more sensitive than others, and we don't just want to go and point fingers and put people in bad situations that need to be handled with delicacy and tact. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to say that I heard Sister say that, you know, the brothers pretty much point fingers, if I'm staying corrected, that the MGT don't point fingers like the FYI, and that's correct. But as just going back to what brother said earlier, men are more critical in that way because we are the protectors and maintainers of the sacred mosque. So in a lot of cases, when we see our sister out of order, it's out of protection, not so much a critique to say, no, you know, I'm better than you, or you're not doing this right. I would hope so. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know in certain instances, just speaking from my own experience, whatever correction I came with when it regarded my wife or a sister, it came in regards to just trying to protect and preserve, not so much to, you know, exalt myself as better. So we do have an obligation to try to preserve our sisters because they're the future of our nation.
Okay. And Brother Malik, do you have something to say about that?
Yes, ma'am. As far as pointing fingers, the reason why brothers do point fingers and sisters may not is because it's just as brother said. With me, I'll just use myself. I take every MGT personal. I feel like a sister that's an MGT, and I'm living the life of a FOI. Every sister, whether I'm married to her, whether she's married to someone else, or whatever the case may be, it's my duty, personal duty. I take it personal. You can't give your life for someone if you don't take it personal. What the brothers see when they see our sisters like that is because of our training and what we've been taught, that a virtuous woman is the best gift that any man could have. When we see a sister out of her garment or doing something that's other than what she's supposed to be doing, it becomes personal with us. But also dealing with the situation as far as the way the sister may be acting other than herself, we have to remember we're living in the time of the separation of the wheat and the tare. We don't know what this mindset that this sister may have. There's agents in the mosque, in the MGT, and the FOI that are whispering in people's ear, and just because of some disappointment they may have had, they pull them into their ranks. I'm not saying this is the situation with every sister that's like that, but that's the beginning. Remember, it starts out with a whisper. So then the next thing you know, a sister that may have been a soldier and may have been doing her work within the nation and you know, living the life, all of a sudden you look around and she's doing upkeep other than self. Or same thing with a brother. So we have to realize the forces that we're dealing with today. Every sister that wears a headpiece, as one of the sisters said earlier, that doesn't make her MGT. Or FOI, that doesn't make him a FOI. That's why it's said in the Holy Quran that make your work be known so that Allah, the messenger, and the true believer can see your works. So we have to just look at these type of situations and go into them. No one situation is the same. there's always an exception to the rule. That's why we have to get to know one another. This way, when we see a person sliding out or going in a direction where they should not go, we're able to stop them. In the lecture, Love and Duty, by Minister Farrakhan, he said that the woman is crafty, which means that she will come at you at all different angles, but you have to be wise enough to distinguish the angle that she's coming from and stop her before she goes in that direction and keep her on her righteousness. So this is what we're dealing with today. We can't take every situation and use the same tact or the same method in order to alleviate the problem, because there's many avenues that we travel in this life, in this world, in these teachings, and everything that we do. So we have to study the situation. Then we know, oh, is this someone who maybe a word can help? Or is this someone who I have to report? Or is this someone maybe, you know, I could just sit down with them, and because I know them personally, I could sit down and talk with them and get them, guide them back to the right path. But then also we have to remember there are certain individuals that at a certain point Allah seals the heart, and no one can remove it except for Him. So we give guidance. We give a clear delivery of the message. But then that's all we're obligated to do, even with one another.
Yes, sir. And it's not to say, Sister Akima, that we cannot report. We can report if we find a brother being other than himself. So,
yes, ma'am.
You know, I just want to put that out there. There is a method, there is a protocol to how we do everything, and we're not going to, of course, display that on air. But, yes, ma'am, we can report any wrongdoing that we see. Okay, we kind of want to move into solutions now, and I just want to know from everybody, is there anything MGT or FOI want to address before we start talking about solutions in this next half hour?
This is Brother Rasan.
Yes, sir.
Just quickly, because it seems like this word pain just keeps floating around, you know, and we really don't understand pain. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that pain is the mother of growth. So, regardless, even if a brother or sister is in pain due to someone else's behavior, that pain is not necessarily, it's out of love, and it's out of the fact that we accepted this teaching and we want to see one another do right or be right. So, because the word has been loosely slunk around, and it's like, it's like someone pinpointing or pointing a finger at a particular person, but in an indirect manner. So, I mean, we have to understand what the pain is in order to understand why that person is in pain. Instead of just saying, well, this person is in pain, he's going to speak harshly to the sister. You know, that's not the case. So, let us understand that pain is the mother of growth, and we all have some growing and developing to do. And to close the gap, we just have to follow the restrictive law of Islam. And we have to have love and compassion for one another. And I would advise everyone on here to study Minister Farrakhan's study guide number 2, Building Human Potential. That way, once we build the humanity in ourselves, then we can have that compassion and love that Minister Farrakhan has for us individually and as a whole, for us in the nation and our people and just in humanity in general. But if we're not building our human potential within ourselves, then we can't sincerely love one another. We have to develop our own humanity within ourselves to feed the humanity in another FOY and another MGT, because we have to feed ourselves as the same. But that's what I would advise, that we all study guide number 2, study it with the intensity to gain the knowledge and wisdom that Minister Farrakhan is putting in it, so we can build a better brotherhood and a sisterhood.
Okay, thank you, Brother Rasan. Okay, you know, I want to
pose a question for us all to just think about, not necessarily to answer at this time, but to just think about. And that question is, do we know why the man is not allowed in the MGT class?
Yes, ma'am. I'll let them stew on that. And maybe they'll answer towards the end of the show. Let me say something to what Brother Rashad said. You know, pain, a lot of people are stuck in pain. A lot of people have come through a series of abuse, neglect, abandonment, whatever their pain comes from. We can't speak to everyone's pain. But there is a time now. We're in the time now where we have to grow, as Brother Rasan said, that it's a, you know, it's a step for growth. So we have to grow out of that pain, move forward to do the work that is ahead of us. Sometimes our pain stops us in our tracks, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move on because the stuff that we're holding on to is not necessarily petty, but it's stagnating. And how are we ever going to grow being stuck right in one spot? We have to move on. And so the minister has offered Dianetics. If you need Dianetics, which we probably all do, then I suggest one of the things that we can do is go and get audited if you have issues that you just feel like are there and is not allowing you to move on. My second suggestion is atonement. Because we all have things to atone for, but we need to atone for one another and to one another for how we mishandle one another on a day-to-day basis. We know we don't always handle each other correctly. We don't even think of each other correctly. We don't even love one another correctly. So we need to get to that process, too. And my last thing that I'm going to say right now, I want you to think about in the black community, Muslim or non-Muslim, there is nothing out there in social media, mainstream media, radio, video, whatever you're looking at, there is nothing promoting marriage and love to us. We have to find it within our own hearts and within our nation. They're not going to teach us the science of mating. We need to learn how to mate from the neck up and stop being so, how can I put it, so simple. You know, of course someone has to attract you. But if you're not attracted to a person who is striving to be one with Allah, then there's something about you. And that's why you constantly have unfulfillment and you constantly have dissatisfaction and we're constantly getting divorced because we're looking for what looks good to us, but it's not necessarily good for us. And so I'm just going to go down the line. We got like 20 minutes, and I'm going to start with Brother Walter and come on down the line. Give us some suggestions, sir, on how to close the gap.
Praise be to Allah. Well, my first suggestion is that we look for closing the gap between our Creator, Allah, and His divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, those of us who seek the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, by doing what we're asked to do by him and what we need to do to make ourselves whole. That's the first suggestion. And then I definitely wholeheartedly agree with you, Sister Gidget, in the way of a lot of us still need to be on the atonement process because there's a lot of things that many of us have done to one another and to others whom we've never atoned for. And until we go through that process, a lot of times it's hard for us to close the gap. So atonement is definitely needed in the eight steps of atonement. And I believe that as we work through the process of submitting to Allah, as well as following the guidance and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this time and what must be done, I believe a lot of the things that we talk about with the pain will begin to subside and become manageable to eventually healing. So that's just some of my humble suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you so much. Brother Malik?
Yes, ma'am.
So what can we do to close the gap?
Closing the gap, the main thing that we must do in all aspects of our lives is to make Allah the center of all our relationships. If Allah is the center of our relationships, then we can build from there and close the gap. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us from Master Muhammad to accept your own and be yourself. He said the greatest knowledge that anyone can have, possess, is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self, which is both, he said, really the same thing. We have to look at the female for who she is, and she has to look at us for what we are. This world today has turned everything upside down, where the woman is in charge of the home and the man is in an inferior position. In order for us to come together, we have to play the role in which we were born to play when we came into existence. Everyone has to know their place. Everyone has to play their role. We can't get past all the, we're speaking on pain and all these things, until we can eliminate and remove the pain that has come between us. Most of us in our lives, somewhere in our journey in life as men and women, we've had bad relationships. A brother with a sister who he loved who may have done him wrong. A sister with a brother who may have done her wrong. And we take that out on one another because we haven't let go of our past relationships. So we have to learn how to forgive not only one another, but we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. Most of our problems is that we have not forgiven ourselves, regardless of how much we say it. That's why a lot of us in the nation won't go under this science of Dianetics, because we don't want to look at the part of us that we have not forgiven about ourselves. So if we look at, we don't forgive ourselves, no one else can forgive us. If we don't look at ourselves in the right perspective, in the right position that we are supposed to be in life, how is someone else going to see us in that framework? So we have to work hard to strive to make Allah the center of everything that we do. We have to struggle with the forces within ourselves and rid ourselves of these negative feelings and these things that trigger these emotions in us that make us go after one another instead of striving to truly love each other. And as the minister taught us, not the emotional love, but freedom, justice, and equality in which God created the universe from.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Malik. Okay, Brother Gary.
All right. How can I put this? I believe that the only... All right. I believe the only possible way that this gap is going to be closed is, one, through Allah's chastisement. Minister Farrakhan constantly reminds us of the scriptures in the Bible's oath, a son of man being commissioned to pull the bones together in a dry valley. Let's just say in this instance, the bones is the black man and the black woman. And since they all have fallen apart, there's a gap. she went back to God and said, well, you know, these bones, you know, I spoke to them, they're rattling, but they just won't come together. So then that one says, okay, let the winds blow unto them. He said the winds translated to mean war, trouble, affliction, death. Now, the Holy Quran talks about the dividing in companies. It talks about the great day of separation, the removal of the disbelievers, the agents, and the hypocrites. And there's one characteristic that all three of these have in common, rebellion. Minister Farrakhan said the Nation of Islam cannot make true progress until these ones have been removed. Why? Because they are influencing new ones into their actions, into their thinking, and then justifying why they're doing it. He said, it is not about us trying to find out why we shouldn't do something. We should just try to find out why we should do it, if it is the truth. Now, I'll end on this. The Nation of Islam right now, the sisters and the brothers, is going to go through a serious process of purification. And when this purification comes, or the purging of the ranks come, then the only ones who will be left is those who are willing to be obedient to Master Farah Muhammad's instructions and all of those instructions he gave the MGT, and those FOI who are obedient to Master Farah Muhammad's instructions and all those instructions to the FOI. Once that happens, the only people that will be left is those who love Islam. And that will be the uniting force that will produce love in the man and the woman that will cause us to come together in what we will call holy matrimony. But until that happens, this is not going to come about in the Nation of Islam. The ranks are being purged, the companies are being divided, and everybody are being labeled for who and what they are. And after that, I believe the time will come for us to unite once these individuals have been removed. I love you. Assalamu alaikum.
We love you too, Brother Gary. Thank you for that. All right, I'm going to come to the sister since Brother Rasan has already given his advice. Sister Shafika? Sister Shafika, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I had to try to find my mute button. I apologize.
No problem.
My closing would just be that in us trying to close the gap, just like the brother said, is to adopt the 8 steps of atonement and have them ingrained in us. And I believe we need to add a little bit more humility to ourselves so that we can successfully move through those 8 steps of atonement. Brothers, we love you all. We care about you all in a way that I don't believe you all are prepared to understand. We may not always say it verbally. Everybody's love language is different. But I want all of us to be open to communication and dialogue with each other. We don't need monologue. We need to dialogue with each other truly and put things on the table and try to get an actual answer to what plagues us as a nation. As we stand today, we are nowhere near where we should be for the time in which we live. And that pains me. That is the thing that pains me most, is that we still swallow camels and gag over neck. I just want my brothers to know that I thank you for loving me the way that you all love me. And I hope that even in the way that I speak my words, know that I'm listening to you all. I hear you all, and I'm taking this all in.
But we've just got to continue to have the doors of communication open and then do some retrospective cleanup of ourselves. Just like I believe it was Brother Rasan who gave us the information regarding study guide number 2. I say start with number 1 and go all the way back down.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what we need in order to even begin to be where we need to be. So, I tell later.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, Sister Shafika. Sister Kimberly?
Yes, ma'am. My suggestion, as I try to do quite often, is read what the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe. And I believe that if we, as believers, use the tools that has been given to us in order to sustain our life, in order for us to build as a nation, I believe we can close the gap. But it's not going to be until we use the tools. When we go to the doctor and the doctor tells us there's a problem, you have an illness or disease or whatever it may be, and here you go. If you take this prescription and get a filled and you take this medication, you will see a change. You go home, get the prescription filled, but you sit it on the medication on the table, put it in the cabinet, never use it. How then do you get healed? But if we begin to take the medication, we start seeing the change. We start seeing, oh, wow, I'm getting better, I'm feeling stronger, I'm feeling so forth, so forth. So if we do not take what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has given us to help heal us, such as the auditing, so forth, how then are we going to heal? How will we close a gap? So we can talk all day long, we can complain all day long, but until we ourselves take the medicine and use the keys and the tools that has been given to us, then how will we grow? The minister has given to us. He has spoke and given it to us so many times. In the last article, he spoke on the time and what must be done. And he spoke, it's time to make a decision. It's time for us to make a decision. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we cannot be lukewarm. Can't be, you're either going to be hot, you're going to be cold. Either way, make the choice. So even though, yes, we are dealing with a lot of issues, we all are, but we have the conscious decision to say no more. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you want to give up drinking, smoking, just stop. Just stop. If we really want a healing for ourselves and for our people, we got to take the medicine. We have to take the medicine. So I pray to Allah, and I speak for myself, and I speak for what I have tried to do and strive to do as a Muslim, and to try very hard to be obedient and constantly ask my God, Allah, I pray that you are pleased with me. Allah, I pray that you will help me be better. I'm constantly asking. He has to be the center. He has to be the center, but we have to use the tools that has been given to us, not throw them in the toolbox and leave them there. We can't build when the hammer and nails and screwdrivers is in the toolbox. We have to use the tools that has been given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's our key. That's what I believe as a believer, as a Muslim. And I pray to Allah that we will grow more and respect ourselves more and understand the value and the beauty in each and every one of us. So thank you for allowing me once again to be a part of this. Islam Rinkum.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And before we go to you, Sister Patricia, I want to hear from my very quiet co-host, Brother Derek. Brother Derek, what you think?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was trying to find the mute button, too. I just want to say, it's kind of like one of the sisters was saying, that we really didn't get into solutions like we thought we were. But I understand, because most of us have an issues, and most of us are speaking from our issues. And so, you know, I'm just going to say this from the minister. He said, duty to God is first, and the more we neglect him, then there's no chance of us keeping duty to one another. So, like the brother was, like a lot of people were saying, we've been rebellious. It's not just on the sister side. It's all of us. You know, the minister said none of us want to be do God's will. We talk it, but our actions show different. So we can tell each other anything, but the situation that we find ourselves in right now, with the relationship, with the economic situation, with everything, shows that we're just not following what we say we follow. So until we get that straight, then we're going to continue to be talking about the gap, closing the gap. What's wrong? What's the problem? We got to get back to God first, and then that'll settle everything else. No, everything else will follow behind it.
That's right. Thank you, Brother Derek. Okay, Sister Patricia.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be brief. I'm going to agree with what everyone said, but I'm going to go to Los Angeles on lesson number one. Question and answer number 10, why does Muhammad and any Muslim murder the devil? What is the duty of each Muslim in regards to four devils? What reward does a Muslim receive by presenting the four devils at one time? Answer, because he is 100% wicked and will not keep and obey the laws of Islam. His ways and actions are like a snake of the grafted type. So Muhammad learned that he could not reform the devils, so they had to be murdered. All Muslims will murder the devils, because they know he is a snake, and also, if he be allowed to live, he will sting someone else. Each Muslim is required to bring four devils, and by bringing and presenting four at one time, his reward is a button to wear on the lapel of his coat. Also, a free transportation in the holy city Mecca to see Brother Muhammad. And I said that because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us tools to live better lives, and Dianetics is one of those tools. And if each one of us will get audited from the pain of things that were done to us, it's not that we did something, it's what was done to us. If we would all work on that, we would be a better nation. We would have more families and more marriages and more happiness in our nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sister Patricia. Okay, before I close out, Brother Caesar, we have a caller with a question from area code 773. Can you make that mic live, please?
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Your mic is open.
Hi, Rakeem Khalik Muhammad. I'm doing fine. I don't have a question. I just want to say something. In these last few minutes, we as Muslims, if we were to study and practice these teachings, these great teachings that were given by us, then maybe some of us would act like ignorant, stressed out NIGGAs. That's the problem. We're miserable with ourselves. So when we're miserable with ourselves, we make everybody around us miserable. That's the problem. And the solution to these problems is you got to seek truth. And base that truth on your life. Base your life on that truth. Understand your culture, your history, and our tradition is taught to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught to us by Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Be family-oriented. Some of us not family-oriented at all. Biological family or social family, every individual needs loving people in his or her life. If you got loving people in your life, then you won't be so miserable. change, remove bad habits from one's activities. Then you won't be so quick to point the finger at other people. I heard earlier, FYI, pointing the fingers at one another, and the sisters don't. Seek life-giving and life-saving ideas. Do not feel failure. Because when you feel failure, you can never work for success. Sister Gidget, if I'm making any sense to you?
Yes, sir. We're listening.
All right. Redefine success out of one's own needs and realities. You can't look for it in somebody else. Because if you look for it in somebody else, you'll be disappointed and be arguing, upset all the time. Realize that to be wrong is not failure. Just a detour to the path to success. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. We must value the simple things in life. That's our damn problem. We don't value nothing. We don't value none of the simple things in life. We try to make every damn thing so complicated. Big problem. See, interdependency rather than dependency. That's when you looking for a mate or all that other good stuff. Be productive. Avoid some of us watch too much damn television. So we try to base our lives on what we see on the television.
Yeah.
We got to learn to be creative. Some of us don't exercise. We need to start exercising. Keep the body and the mind active, then you won't be so stuck on N-I-D, I don't want to curse on this show, N-I-G-G-A BSism.
Okay.
Oh, shit. All right? Another thing, we must be more selective by the food that we eat. We must practice what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us in how to eat to live. We must be more selective by the people whom we form friendships with. How can we bridge a gap when you're dealing with people that's not even on your level? You arguing all the time with people that don't even understand you. People you have nothing in common with. You're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis. That's for the brothers and for the sisters. See, quality rather than quantity. I think I heard you say that just to get it earlier. You're looking at how good somebody looks, but damn it, they may not be good for you.
Yes, sir.
And another thing we must do,
I'm so sorry. We are running out of time, and next time, I told you this before, don't come in at the last 2 minutes, please. You know you got a lot to say. You got to come in at least 15 minutes before the show is over.
Sister, y'all are my inspiration. I had to put my mind together for this show. And I'm listening to Brother Malik. Brother Malik is a great inspiration. I ain't going to even lie to you. Brother Malik, you own it, brother.
he's gone already. So, listen, Brother Rakim, you're going to have to come back for part four, which is the last part of this series. Well, I'm coming back with some married couples, and they're going to tell us how they make it work. I'm going to leave you all with this family. The minister speaks Saturday on the time and what must be done. But let me just say this to you. We need to exhort one another to the standards that Master Farah Muhammad set up for each of us in our classes. We need to remain encouraging and loving to one another. Because as the minister speaks every Saturday about the time and what must be done, let me tell you this. None of us will be successful without obedience, and none of us will be successful without unity. So let's unite in love, and let's unite in our obedience to Allah, and let's exhort one another to the standard that Master Farah Muhammad has called us to set for ourselves. So if we do that, just that part, I
I think we'll all be successful. That's the end of our show. Thank you to my wonderful panel, Brother Walter, Brother Gary, Brother Rashawn, Brother Ivan had to leave, Brother Malik had to leave, Sister Michelle, Safiqua Muhammad, Sister Kimberly, thank you for joining us, Sister Catherine Patricia out of Cleveland, Ohio, thank you. All the listeners, all the believers in the chat room, Sister Monique, so many of y'all, I can't even see all y'all names. And thank you, listening audience, for your continuous love and support. I leave you as I came before you. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Join us back next week for part four, where we have married couples that come on here and tell us how it go. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Yo. Get Skull Dash. You need your flyers looking real fly? Get Skull Dash. You need web banners to promote your album or mixtape? Get Skull Dash. With Skull Damage Crafts, ranging from logos, business cards, CD covers, flyers, posters, web banners, T-shirt designs, and custom artwork. Skull Damage Graphics Design are customized to meet all your graphic design needs. With high quality work and quick turnaround, they have the lowest prices around. You can reach Skull Damage Graphics at 562-221-8449. Or you can email them at skulldamagegraphics@gmail.com. Get Skull Damage with Skull Damage Graphics.
Skull Damage Graphics. Skull Damage.